Good morning to all of you. My name is Dale Gallipo. I'm representing Mindy Losey, who is the mother of Breanne Sharp, and she's present in court today. I realize there's been a lot of cases and talk about shooting cases, both in the media and in our published opinions, both in the Ninth Circuit and with our Supreme Court. But I would submit in this case, and I really want to focus, if I can, on the first four shots by Officer Zushin, because I think it's very important to look at those independently, that if you take all the plaintiff's facts as true, and you take all reasonable inferences therefrom, that this case should go to a jury, both on the federal and state claims.
With respect to Officer Zushin.
Right. And I really think you can parse out the officers, because I think...
Well, I was going to ask you that, because as to the others, at that point, Ms. Sharp's car, the Honda, is coming towards them.
Yes.
It actually hits one of them. So what I was going to ask you, and maybe your argument suggests this to be the case, isn't it a different case with respect to the other officers than Officer Zushin?
Yes.
And as to them, don't they have a reasonable apprehension that they're in danger?
I think yes, with one possible caveat. Now, as we tried to point out in the paperwork filed, Ms. Sharp was two shots struck her. One to the head, fired by Zushin.
Right. And at least you have evidence of that.
Right. And one to the left shoulder, fired by Officer Vega. The problem that we had with Vega's shot was that he continued shooting as the car was passing him.
Well, but there's two officers after that, and she actually comes close to the other.
That is true.
Other two. So
that is true.
I guess what I'm saying is that separating Zushin from the others makes sense to me.
Who was he? Okay, who shot her in the shoulder? Zushin shot her in the head. Who shot her in the shoulder?
That was Officer Vega. Judge Wardlaw.
Right, which after she'd hit the tree, skinned the other car, and continued towards him and Officer Quigley.
Correct. And one of the, from our perspective, and we cited their policy, which we believe Zushin violated, one of the reasons that shooting at drivers of vehicles is discouraged, unless it's a true immediate defense of life, is because you're likely to disable the driver, which could then make it more dangerous to not only the public, but other officers.
Right, so arguably, because Zushin shot to the head, that could have disabled her to the point that caused the rest of, banging into the utility pole and everything else.
But the rest of the police don't know that, right?
Correct.
They just know that a car is coming towards them.
Correct. And in fact, I'm not even sure if some of the officers knew who was firing the shots. I mean, they heard shots fired.
They heard shots.
It was so chaotic.
So you correctly wanted to focus on Zushin. And so,
yes.
So again, because Casella is the 800-pound elephant in the room, tell me, and the Supreme Court seems to have difficulty upholding cases in which we don't find qualified immunity when there's police shootings. Tell me what your best case is for the clearly established right.
I had a feeling you were going to ask me that question, Judge Hurwitz, but I have several cases. Because this is deadly force and because it involves someone fleeing, in this case, in a vehicle, I would submit we really go back as far as Tennessee v. Garner. But more recently, Ninth Circuit cases, two that we cited from the Ninth Circuit, Adams v. Spears, a 2006 case, and AD v. California Highway Patrol, a 2013 case from the Ninth Circuit. That was decided and published, according to some information I have, about 5 months before this incident. We also cited some Sixth Circuit cases. I realize they're out of circuit, but Smith v. Cup.
But they're important to Judge Oliver.
It's an important circuit. I happen to originally be from that circuit, from Ohio, northern Ohio. But Sixth Circuit case, Smith v. Cup, 2005, and Kirby v. Duva, Sixth Circuit, 2008. In addition...
Okay, so you've got... all the cases you've read, I've cited. Let me add to tell you what concerns me, and maybe you can help me. Before Officer Zushin fired here, as I reconstruct the events, your client had been... Somebody had followed your client with the lights on. It's actually two police cars had flashed lights at her. She'd gone down a street, hit a curb, turned around, come back out, hit a curb again, hit a utility pole. And then, as Officer Zushin approaches the car from behind, she's backing up towards him. He may or may not... Let's assume for purposes of this case that he could have gotten out of the way. All those events that occur before the shots here distinguish those other cases? Because most of those are just somebody fleeing where somebody takes a shot at someone.
I would say part of the distinction... No, I would say no. And I would say this is not a high-speed pursuit, as we've seen in some other cases even talked about by the Supreme Court. No evidence of threats or weapons. I think what's most important, I think the record's fairly clear that before she hits that pole, it would have been inappropriate to shoot and kill her.
No, I agree. So while she's on Vista Verde, nobody should be firing.
And what I think's important, and again, taking all the reasonable inferences in favor of the plaintiff for purposes of this motion, once she hits the pole and he's some distance away towards the rear of his vehicle at first, he sees the reverse lights come on. He says that 10 or 15 seconds, I think his estimate's a bit long, but 10 or 15 seconds pass between seeing the reverse lights and his first shot. And so for him to approach the rear of the vehicle, I don't really believe he did. I think it's an issue of fact as to where he was exactly.
Well, tell me why there was an issue of fact. There's no expert testimony about where he was. So the only thing in the record is his test. I understand the expert testimony about the speed of the car and things.
Right.
But what evidence is there that he wasn't where he was?
We cited, there's just a discrepancy between his statement and his deposition.
There's a discrepancy about when he shot.
True,
but I don't think he's seen discrepancy about where he was.
He said initially he was going to vehicle C-23 to take cover. That's what he said in his statement. In his deposition, he has himself more in the open. But I think what's really important is he had noticed that the car was coming back. There's evidence that the car only moved 6 to 8 feet, which we think is very important. I asked him, how close did it get to him? I don't know.
He said 20 feet.
How fast was it going? I don't know. I think there's evidence that that car only backed up 6 to 8 feet because obviously it had to back up to continue to go. And maybe more importantly, I think it's more likely that the shot that hit her in the head was not one of the first two shots, because I think a reasonable inference could be it's unlikely that after she was shot in the head, she then would have been able to take the car from
turn it around.
To drive.
So that's exactly what I wanted to ask you. So thank you for getting there. So let's assume that Officer Zushin was not justified in shooting at the car as it backed up. But apparently he didn't hit her with either of those shots. She only got hit with two shots and one was in the head.
Then she's leaving.
And then she's leaving and heading towards the other officers. Yeah. Is he justified then in shooting?
Well, no. I would suggest both groups of shots by Zushin are excessive and unreasonable, and certainly it should go to a jury on both the federal and state claims. The first shots, for the reasons we already discussed, slowly backing up 6 to 8 feet. I don't even think he was close to being about to be struck, and he clearly had room to get out of the way, and he violated his own policy. The next two shots, by his own admission, the vehicle's pulling forward.
And that's what I was asking. The vehicle does a U-turn.
But this is what's important, Your Honor. Again, all reasonable inferences in our favor, and if you look at part of the record, that the U-turn happens after the two shots. I know the defense wants to suggest that she was making this wild U-turn, and then that's when he fired those two shots. But those two shots, when you take the reasonable inferences in the plaintiff's favor, happen almost immediately after the car started moving.
Evidence in this record that those two shots were also from the rear?
Oh, there's no question, because he admits he shot through the rear windshield on those two shots. He admit that there was a slight pause between the two shots. He claims he quickly said, shots fired.
Yeah, we have four shots, right?
Right. The first two through the back windshield. The second two, he says he shot through the back windshield. And importantly, he was asked at deposition, did you look to see if there were any officers in front of the car, around the car, anywhere near? Yes. Did you see any officers? No. So that, I think, is very important into the analysis of the immediate threat, because there was no one in front of the car. He didn't see anyone in front of the car. He looked. So from our perspective, those two shots are even more egregious than the first two. And it's probably that she was shot by one of it, but I think a jury can easily find that all four of his shots were excessive.
Could you go back for a second to the decedent's actions before the shot? I mean, we've got here somebody who won't stop on police commands. They're not saying stop, but they've got their lights on. She hits a curb, she hits a utility pole, and then she starts backing up. Those are the facts, and I don't
yes.
think those are disputed. Do they take us out of the clearly established law category?
No.
It's a traffic stop, right? I mean, so
right.
they were going to stop her for a broken headlight.
Right, because what you would then have, Your Honor, you'd have a situation where, and let's face it, there's a lot of different reasons, some good and some not so good, most not so good, and sometimes, you know, not well thought out, that any person, including a young person, may not stop for the police.
Well, it turns out she's on methamphetamine.
Right, but again, as although they tried to cite a lot of information in their briefing that was not known by the officer at the time, we don't think that's part of the analysis that the
Well, it is. When you start saying there's lots of reasons why somebody
Right, of course.
Now
so,
we know the reasons you didn't
yes,
stop.
Yes, so what I'm saying is that that does not elevate all of a sudden it's okay to shoot and kill people and give them the death penalty. I mean, truly, I mean, one of the things that I feel has been pretty clear in the law for a long time, if you're talking about deadly force, you're talking about something that should be an imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury. And if it's not there, or if there's facts that a jury may find it's not there, then there's evidence to support the shooting's excessive. And based on that, Judge Oliver.
No, I was just going to make sure that before your time is out, that you address Vega. I think that you said Zushin and Vega were the two. And I think you've spent most of the time, because we've been asking you questions about the fact that you felt there was evidence to suggest there was no threat to the officers and to the public that would justify the firing of those shots. Vega, I think you want to address.
Yes.
And then the other question I had tied to that, are you acknowledging that as to the other officers, the qualified immunity was appropriate, and therefore you agree that at least they should be out of the case?
Okay. So let me take the latter first, if that's okay, Judge Oliver. With respect to the other officers, I don't think qualified immunity would necessarily apply to them, but because the forensics was such that none of them struck her, we decided we don't have to pursue those claims against them. I don't think it's important, because we were most concerned with the two shots that actually struck her, and Zushin was the main one, but let me address Vega. Now, I will agree, as Judge Hurwitz pointed out, that a lot changes after those first shots and she struck in the head, and a reasonable inference, the car may be somewhat out of control now because she's got a fatal wound to her head. However, if you look carefully at the sites to Vegas testimony, he stood in one spot, which he clearly, we don't believe, or a reasonable inference is he was not in the path of the car because he never moved. He says he was standing there for 40 seconds, but I think, again, his estimate's long. And I do understand, Judge Hurwitz and to the panel, that there were other people they thought that could be somewhere around. But what bothers me most about Vega's shots is not even his first shot, per se, necessarily, but as he's continuing to shoot through the open or through the driver's window of that car, as he's standing some distance away, as it's passing by him, without seeing anyone in the path of that car, anyone about to be struck by that car, and he sees one of his shots, she sees her flinch, so he was confident that one of his shots struck her, and we believe that obviously the shot that struck her to the left shoulder. Those shots, we think, at least a jury could find, were excessive and unreasonable.
At that point, she'd already gone up on the curb, hit a tree, skinned, I think, Officer Sellin's car, or somebody's car, and is headed towards where Officers Cumber and Quigley are. So,
right.
It's
a closer call.
My problem is, at that point, isn't there at least a reasonable apprehension?
It's a closer call.
Yeah.
It's a closer call.
It's a close call.
However,
doesn't the Supreme Court tell us if it's a close call, it goes to the
to
the cops?
Not necessarily, although the Supreme Court has had a lot of things to say recently, but not necessarily, because, again, you got to take it from Vegas' perspective. Vega says, the car's passing me, I don't see anyone in front of it, I don't see anyone about to be hit, I continue to fire multiple shots through the side of the car. We again believe the law is clearly established and would be up to a jury to decide. I agree, what we now know is that these other officers say, gee, it was kind of coming my direction too, but Vega didn't see that or know that at the time.
But do we look at his subjective? Or what the objective fact?
Objective, and that's the whole thing. I think a lot of the officers, it's subjective. They thought they were about to be run over, but they're not in the path of the car. They thought someone would be run over by the car, but they didn't see anyone in its path. So that's the issue we have.
All
right, counsel, you're over.
I'm very sorry. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Sharon Medellin on behalf of respondents City of Chico and the individually named Chico police officers. I'd like to begin by addressing some of the testimony that counsel described from Sergeant Zushin and Officer Vega. With respect to Officer Vega, he clearly testified that he knew that Officer Sellin's vehicle was immediately next to his, that he saw Ms. Sharp driving directly in his direction as well as the direction of Officer Sellin, that he knew at least one other police officer was behind him because during the pursuit, an officer had given him the right-of-way when coming around the corner onto 8th Street. So although he couldn't identify who specifically that officer was at the time, he knew there was at least another officer behind him and in the path of Ms. Sharp's vehicle. With respect to Sergeant Zushin, he testified that as Ms. Sharp started to pull away, he scanned the horizon. He could see things in his periphery. He knew that there were police vehicles positioned in the street behind him. He saw her drive in the direction of residences on this street.
Okay, so break down her actions here, because I think let's assume just for purpose of discussion that once she turned towards the police officers, maybe Officer Zushin would have been reasonable in firing. But there's evidence in this record that he fired as she was backing up towards him.
Correct.
At that point, we just have a bad driver and a traffic stop. We don't have any violence that's occurred towards anybody. And we have some case law that says, gee, you shouldn't, if you can get out of the way, you should get out of the way rather than firing. So is he firing in self-defense at that point, or is he firing to protect other people?
It's both.
If it's in self-defense, doesn't Acosta suggest that your first self-defense is you just step sideways?
Well, and that's the thing. The Sergeant Zushin also testified during his deposition that there was a vehicle to his left, there was a vehicle behind him, there were bushes to the right, and at that moment he didn't have anywhere to go. So to say that he should have taken a chance and tried to run around a vehicle. Essentially,
let me ask you something. When we talk about excessive force, you don't have to do the least alternative, but we do sort of weigh. Have you tried some of these cases? You weigh like what the threat is versus what the level of force. That's the way they do it. That's how an expert would testify about it. I mean, why shoot the driver? Why not shoot the tires of the car or... I mean, why do you go for the head of the driver?
Well, there's actually a policy that says that an officer is not supposed to shoot at a vehicle in a manner that isn't intended to disable the vehicle.
Oh,
that
so
would be a policy violation.
You'd rather have them kill a person than shoot at the vehicle and disable the vehicle?
I'm sorry?
There's a policy that you'd rather have them kill someone than shoot at the vehicle and disable the vehicle?
No, that's not what the policy says. What the policy
but
says...
But we're talking about levels of escalating force.
Correct. That's not what the policy says. And actually, on the subject of the policies, one thing that is missing from the appellant's view of the facts here is the idea that we do have a policy that's directly on point that's completely ignored. It's policy 304.4.1, which says an officer may, as here, discharge a firearm at a moving vehicle or its occupants when the officer reasonably believes that there are no other reasonable means available to avert the threat.
Yeah, but your policy doesn't establish the Constitution. Your policy may be evidence at a trial, which I'm trying to figure out here whether or not there was a constitutional violation, and if so, whether there's clearly established case law. So break down those four shots for me. Officer Zushin, she's backing up towards him. He says he fires two shots while she's backing up towards him.
Correct.
Then she pulls away in a direction away from the officers. I think it's east on 8th Street, but I may have my compass turned the wrong way. But she's going, in effect, away from the officers. And there's evidence in this record that he fires twice again into the rear of the car. So what's the justification? Even if I assume that the first two shots were to defend himself, mm-hmm. What's the justification for the second two shots?
The residences that she was driving towards. She wasn't driving down the street. She was headed northeast.
But he was shooting at that point to protect the people inside the houses?
The people, he testified in the residences and the officers that he knew.
Well, there were, but again, there were no officers in the direction she was going. She started away from the officers.
Correct, but he testified that she started she wasn't moving in a straight motion. She was moving in a turning fashion. And so he testified that the direction of...
Right, and he may be right and the jury may believe him, but taking the facts in the light most favorable to the plaintiff in this case, she was the decedent was driving away from where the officers were, and Officer Zushin, even if he was justified in firing the first two shots to protect himself, fired two more into the rear of the vehicle, probably the one that killed her. Is the justification for that simply that she may have run into a house or somebody? Does that make her like any drunk driver or anybody?
No, absolutely not. And
I'm listening here and I'm... Obviously, you may have to shoot to protect the public, use excessive force, use force to protect the public or protect officers. But the notion that, she was driving fast down the street and therefore there was a danger to the residences, I'm not sure about that argument.
I think one thing to consider in this case, not necessarily the speed at which she was driving. I mean, obviously, she was driving at a sufficient speed to create the tire friction marks that were at the scene and that sort of thing, to sever a tree, those sorts of things, cause significant damage to police vehicles. But in addition to that, what we need to look at is the space where this incident occurred. If there's a diagram of this, and it is a very confined space, even more so when you look at the number of police vehicles that are positioned in the street. So it's not necessarily the speed. What compounded the danger to the officers in this situation was the confined space where everything was happening.
And that's why I'm asking you to focus on. I understand your argument with respect to once she makes that turn and she's out of control and she's heading towards the cars, I understand that officers might have at that point a reasonable apprehension that they're going to be harmed.
Right.
But I'm trying to focus on Officer Zushin at a point when she just appears to be fleeing in the other direction. At least if you take the facts in the light most favorable to your opponent. And again, take out the backing up. Let's assume that he was entitled to fire then. Why is he entitled to fire just as she pulls away?
Because he personally saw that she was headed. She wasn't headed in the direction just down a street where there was nothing in front of her. She was headed toward, in a turning direction, toward homes and other vehicles and people positioned in the street. That's the distinction here. And I do want to add that there are cases that stand for the proposition that in order to establish qualified immunity, the department or the officers don't need to point to a specific individual and say that person was in the path of travel. It's sufficient that there is a reasonable threat to people, officers, who may be in the vicinity. And in that regard, I would refer to the Brousseau case, Scott v. Harris, Smith v. Freeland, Hill v. Nigro. All of those cases stand for the proposition that if the officer reasonably believes that there is someone in the path of travel...
But it has to be a reasonable belief.
Yes, and that's correct. And we know here that there were plenty of people in the path of travel. She narrowly hit missing two officers, struck two police vehicles. I mean, the idea that there wasn't a reckless...
The thing that troubles me is that, and I mentioned it in the first argument, is that in a way, Zushin's shot to her head actually increased the danger to other people because that put a disabled person driving this car, and that's when other things started happening. She went into the pole and all that. And I mean, it's almost like that shot exacerbated the danger. It didn't decrease the danger.
I understand that point, but in terms of whether the Fourth Amendment claim, where there was a right that was clearly established, and whether that the officer was entitled to qualified immunity, there is no point on case that says that by doing what Officer Zushin did, he unreasonably...
We have plenty of cases on point that say when someone's fleeing the officer, they're not in imminent danger of being...
And that's not... And Officer Zushin is clear that that's not the reason he fired.
No,
he
I
was
understand
not
that
fleeing.
He's clear. But we have to look at the record in the light most favorable to your opponent. And we've got all kinds of diagrams, and we've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
It appears that at least for some... And it appears that four shots go through the rear of the car.
Correct.
So if they're going through the rear of the car, how can she be headed towards the other officers at the time, given where Officer Zushin was positioned?
Where he... As she's pulling away, that is his the direction that he fires, that's how he strikes the vehicles, from the rear. But you have to...
At that point, she's not headed towards the other officers.
No, that's not exactly true, because she's in a turning direction. She's not traveling straight. So from when he fires, he's firing from where she takes off, from the location where she stops, puts the car in drive, and takes off again. But it's not a straight path down a street. She's heading and turning into a residential area and the direction of where the other officers are in the street. So there are plenty of things in her path of travel.
Okay, I understand.
Okay. In addition, I did also want to mention the idea that the district court didn't give appropriate weight to the idea that that Sergeant Zushin's shots, you know, potentially incapacitated her. I just wanted to reiterate that that allegation is essentially immaterial because of the requirement that under Graham that cases of excessive force like this be judged from the perspective of a reasonable officer. Without the benefit of 2020 hindsight, so the rest of the officers who were behind him and fired after Sergeant Zushin had no reason to believe that she was incapacitated. The threat remained the same.
This is a wrongful death case, correct?
I'm sorry?
This is a wrongful death case?
I believe that there was a state claim for wrongful death, but it's...
Well, I'm trying to figure out the shots that missed, given that... other shots hit. Are we concerned with the shots that missed in this case?
No, I believe that all of these shots were found within the vehicle.
Well, so we're concerned with the two shots that actually struck the decedent, aren't we not?
Well, from the department's perspective, even those particular shots were reasonable.
It's, no, but I'm asking, do we have to worry about the other ones?
We understand he's asking you about the other officers, that it's okay that they shouldn't be in this case.
Absolutely. They were completely justified at the very...
Well, no, whether or not they were justified, I'm asking a separate question. Only two shots hit...
Correct.
And this is a case in which she was killed.
Correct.
Okay. So are we really worried about the shots that other officers fired that missed?
No.
Whether they were reasonable or not, no, are they part of this case?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, that's all he's asking.
Yeah, that was
it.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You
don't much
to
better
go
than
back
I.
to.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood the question then. My apologies.
Okay. Well, I think, do you have any? I don't think we have any other questions, so.
Okay, thank you.
We will submit the case of Losey versus City of Chico. And we previously submitted Nelson versus Flowers Foods. And so this court will adjourn for today. Thank you very much, counsel.
All rise.